If you would, turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. We're going to continue with my study that I've been doing on Jeremiah. Again, this is not an in-depth verse-by-verse study of the book of Jeremiah, but as I'd read through it, these are some things that at this point of my life, these are things that literally jumped off the page at me. If I read this 5 years ago, I'm sure different verses would have come out. If I read it 5 years from now, there'd probably be different verses. But we're going to continue with going through the book of Jeremiah. Couple weeks ago, the last time I had the opportunity to speak to you, we looked at all 10 verses, chapter 24. We're going to be in, start in chapter 25 today. And there are some verses, and just as kind of a preview, it amazes me how much of the Bible applies as much today as it was to the people it was written to. Yes, there are certain circumstances that say the Old Testament or even the New Testament. There are many circumstances that certain things were written to certain people. Paul wrote a letter specifically to Timothy. Doesn't mean that we can't learn from it today. And doesn't mean that some of what he specifically wrote to Timothy applies to us. We see in Genesis, Noah was told to build an ark. Sam, I'm glad me and you weren't told to build an ark. Who knows how it would have turned out. But God told Noah to build an ark. Not us, not anybody else, but a lot of the message to Noah applies to us in 2024 as much as it did to Noah at the time that he was given the direction from God. Same thing with the book of Jeremiah. And I would like for you to be thinking of that, even though this is from the book of Jeremiah. There are some things that apply to us today as much, maybe just in a slightly different method as it did in Jeremiah's time. In chapter 25, starting in verse 4, it says, "And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear." Every era that people have lived, God has had a message for them, sometimes through the written word, sometimes through the mouth of the prophets, etc. But in this specific issue here, in this circumstance, they did not listen nor incline their ear to hear. How does that apply to us today? How many of our religious friends that are maybe sincere, that if you asked them, "Do you love God?" "Absolutely." They're not going to do what he says. They're plugging their ears. When they see what is specifically written for them to do or not do, or something like that. And then there's some other people we may cross paths with. not even religious friends, people that have no interest in God, that somebody tries to tell them something about the Word of God, just of the existence of God. I don't want to hear it. Don't come preaching to me. That was going on then. They had the Word of God being sent by prophets, and they did not listen nor inclined their ear. And that's an attitude. That's an attitude. I don't want to hear it. Whatever you've got to say, I don't want to hear it. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not listening to you. That's the attitude. Did any of you, I don't know if this was just me and my friends. It might have been just me and my friends thing. It might have been here in Las Vegas. I don't know. When you did that as a little kid, you plugged your ears and then recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Where literally that's all you're hearing. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United. You're not listening. Whatever they say, you're not listening. I picture that with them. They're being told the Lord has sent. Not somebody's opinion. The Lord. Goes on to say, verse 5, they said, repent now. Every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them. And do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. And I will not harm you. There's a lot being said in those two verses. The message was repent. Have we ever heard that before? That was the same message Peter had on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? When they realized, when Peter pointed out, this guy, Jesus, whom you killed, was the Savior, was the Messiah. Men and brethren, what must we do? They were pricked in the heart. And Peter says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. These prophets in Jeremiah's time, in most times, as we've studied in the last 2.5 months in Preston's minor prophets class, that was one of the main messages of the prophets. One of the main messages. Repent. Repent now in every one of his evil way, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given you. The Lord has great things planned for his people. But you gotta do it. And he says in verse 6, don't go after other gods to serve them. They were surrounded. They were in the midst. Does it sound familiar to us today? They were in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Many false gods all around them. And even though they may not be statues today, we're surrounded by false gods. People going after them and devoting their life to those things rather than God the Creator. And the message of the prophets was, do not go after those other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not. Don't do it. Don't make me. Did your mom ever do that from the front seat and you're in the back? Don't make me pull over. Don't make me. I don't want to. but boy, am I capable. Boy, am I capable. And do not provoke me to anger. By the way, this is the same God that destroyed the earth once already before. He's capable. Don't provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. You do that, I won't harm you. Deal? Sounds like a good deal to me. Verse 7. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Don't come whining, crying that somebody else did something to you. You did it to yourself. You did it to yourself. Those few verses are still ringing true today. Today, all these years later, has nothing to do with Jeremiah, has nothing to do with the, you know, we have nothing to do with the people of that era or Jeremiah, but we have everything to do with it. It's speaking to us today. Luke 13:3, Jesus says the same thing in the New Testament. He tells his disciples, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's in a nutshell what the prophets were telling the people in Jeremiah's time. In chapter 26, verse 2, again, starts out, thus says the Lord. Have you ever studied with somebody or just been in a discussion? And I guess you could theoretically, by definition, call that a study, just a discussion. It's an informal study, not sitting down at a table, you know, with the Bible open, but be in a discussion with somebody about God's word, and I think, I feel, and in my opinion comes up. Who cares? Let's see what the word of God says. If we're going to go with I think, I feel, and in my opinion, we all got to say so in that one. Verse 2 says, thus says the Lord. Nobody else. Not an opinion. Not an I think. Not an I feel. Take it up with the Lord if you disagree with it. It says, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not diminish a word. They didn't have to worry about what to say. God was going to give them what to say. Don't leave anything out. Don't cut corners. Don't add anything. Do not diminish a word. But that doesn't apply today. This is as alive today as it was then. We are told to stand before the Lord and to speak to all the people about God's word. In our family, to our neighbors. Some Christians actually pack a suitcase, get a passport, and go someplace else to preach the same thing. Sometimes we send money to people to do that. We're not speaking their opinion, not the I think, I feel, in my opinion. They're speaking what God wants spoken, His word, and not to diminish a word. But some things are hard to preach. Yeah. God loves us is easy to preach. God, that's an easy one. That Christ loved us so much that He gave Himself as a sacrifice for us, that's easy to preach. But then when you got to sit down, brother or sister, the activity you are doing is wrong. You've got to stop. You need to stop. It's not me saying it. It's the Word of God saying it. Who are you to tell me? Look at what you do. Some messages are easier to preach than others. I will be the first to say, speak all the words that you were commanded to speak, and do not diminish a word. Hell is still hell. However much we sugarcoat it, there's still hell. There's still one way to get to heaven. Not many. And it may offend some. It may upset some. And they start throwing out, but I think, but I feel. And if we stick to thus says the Lord, book, chapter, verse, we're on firm ground. We're on firm ground. Two verses later, in verse 4, it says, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. It's not coming from me. Thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. There's consequences for our actions. God has never demanded from His people, from anybody, has never demanded from His people something that He hadn't already told them ahead of time. That would be unjust. And God is anything but unjust. The gospel according to Bruce sums up these few verses here. Follow me or else. That's what I get out of it. That applies today. Follow God. He has plans for us. He has told us what to do. They're good plans. They're perfect plans. And if not, suffer the consequences. In chapter 20 through, or verse 20 through 24 of the same chapter, it says, and forgive me of Middle Eastern pronunciations, but now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah, of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. He did what he was supposed to do. That says a lot. Jeremiah had told him what to do. He did it according to all the words of Jeremiah. And it wasn't the words of Jeremiah. It was the words of God, told through Jeremiah. Says a lot right there. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, The king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Then Jehoiakim, the king, sent to Egypt Elnathan, the son of Akbar, and other men who went with him to Egypt. And they brought Urijah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim, the king, who killed him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. I want to stop there for just a moment. We're told to spread the word, not under depending on certain conditions. This man lost his life because of it. I would much rather lose my life for preaching the word of God than lose my life for not preaching the word of God. Nevertheless, the hand of Akam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. We as people cannot explain what happens to some people and what happens to some others. Here's one man that spoke all the words Jeremiah had told him. And he was killed for it. He was chased down and killed for it. But yet, God preserved Jeremiah. I wonder, as the apostles started dropping off one by one, and John is kind of looking around and he's finding himself the last one. Why them and not me? And he was the only of the apostles that didn't die a violent death. But they obeyed what God said. Jesus told them before he ascended, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They did. And they all met violent deaths. You know, we were talking a few weeks ago, I don't remember which day in Preston's class, about all the things that happened to the prophets. You know, very rarely did it end good for them. But they did it. They preached the word of God. In 2 Timothy 4, Dick was wondering, how's he going to get through a lesson without going to Timothy? You're right, Dick, I didn't. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul is telling Timothy this same concept. He says, and this is a personal letter to Timothy, but it is as much to us. It is to Chris. It's to Diane. It's to me, to Kurt, as it was to Timothy. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just coming from me, your mentor, your friend, your father figure, Paul. Not just from me, but I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. If it was from me, I know it would carry weight. We've got that relationship, Timothy. But it's not coming from me. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season at any and every opportunity. You be ready when it's the time to preach and when other maybe think it's not time. You be ready. You never know when the opportunity will present itself. You do it by convincing people, by rebuking people, exhorting, and you do it with all long-suffering and teaching. I have seen people in, I've got to add it up, I was baptized in 1977, so what is that? 47, I think, 47 years? I'm not going to do the math right now. But I've seen people preach the Word of God in different ways. Some people were wonderful at convincing. Some people seemed to like to rebuke. They liked to preach the Word of God, seems like, with the ruler to wrap people on the head with. Sometimes it takes that. It's a lot easier to preach love than it is to rebuke somebody. Because a lot of times they get defensive. A lot of times they turn it around on you. Who are you to tell me? They got 20/20 vision when it comes to looking at you, but they're blind with their own life. Exhort, and you do it with all long suffering and teaching. Sometimes people, and Paul put that in. He knew we need to be long suffering with people. Not everybody gets it at the same pace that others do. Why can't you see? It's in black and white, as plain as day. And we want to throw our hands up. They may never get it with us. We might have only planted the seed, and 7 years down the road, somebody else, they are ready to hear what has been told them years ago. And it clicks with them. We had planted the seed. Sometimes we're ready to throw our hands up. If they don't do exactly on the pace that we think they should, Paul's reminding Timothy with all long suffering and teaching. He goes on to say the why he wants him to preach the word. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This was going on at the time of Jeremiah. This was going on at the time of Noah. Guys, you need to repent. Flood's coming. Rain's going to come. What's rain? Get away from me, old man. Get back to building your boat. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Timothy was called to preach the word, just like Jeremiah was called. Sometimes people meet an ugly end preaching the word of God. But I'd much rather meet that end preaching the Word of God than for not preaching the Word of God. We're going to stop there. Lessons, yours. We will continue, I think it's next week. Got to look at the schedule. I think next week we're going to continue on. You might want to read ahead a little bit. A lot of good lessons in the book of Jeremiah. Unlike, every book there is, we can get lessons out of. Anyway, if you need to respond to the invitation, the opportunity is here for us. Hope you have a great week. It was wonderful to look at the Word of God with you Christians tonight. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Kurt leads us. Let's stand and sing.